Episode 12. I am Otis B. Dreads.
I'm Malice Murphy.
Although I don't sound like old Otis. I'm gonna fight my way through this. I'm gonna do my best. I'm gonna fight my way through this because we have a very interesting topic for the night, that being Edgar Allan Poe. But first, gotta give some love to all of my fellow hounds, all of our fellow hounds over there, gorehoundsofhorror.com, Gorehounds of Horror on Facebook, two Facebook pages over there. Well, one's a group, one's a page. The page you do not have to be accepted by ways of rituals in the woods and sacrificing of certain small animals. The group though is a closed group, but you know, it answer three simple questions, check out their list of rules. Yes, there's rules because we want a, you know, peaceful, nice, fun, horror loving family, and that's what we have over there. And so check them out over there, gorehoundsofhorror.com, and of course Gorehounds of Horror on Facebook. You can check out this podcast, although after listening to it, trust me, I don't sound like this every show. I promise. I promise I don't. But you can check Malice and myself out over at nightofthelivingdreads.com, and that is Dreads with no A, D-R-E-D-S. Now, we got an interesting topic tonight, that being Edgar Allan Poe. And as I had mentioned before the show here, that you know, we could probably do a 3 or 4 part podcast, hour long podcast, you know, if not more, on the life of Poe, you know, the women that were involved in his life, just his death period, which we're going to spend a little bit of time on. Just the general overall history, and then of course his writing. I mean, he's a very interesting character and very mysterious. He, you know, they call him the master of the macabre, the inventor of the modern day detective, mystery, you know, type, stories. And lo and behold, his death is still a mystery Although we were watching some things, and I want to hear your thoughts on some of the things that you saw, because they were using today's science and technology and actually had hair samples of Edgar Allan Poe, because it was custom to cut some of the locks off the recently deceased. And somehow these people got a hold of this, him and his wife, I think. Or was it his fiance? I can't remember.
I think it was his fiance.
Okay, yeah, I think you're right. So, and you know, they did some tests and everything. So they're doing that to try and narrow it down, because we'll get through the long list here in just a little bit, because we got a pretty cool little song for the break. And everybody, you know, hopefully everybody loves them, a little bit of Pink Floyd.
Yeah.
And we got, you know, a little excerpt from a song, because, you know, of course, a lot of their songs are like sometimes 15, 20 minutes long. But this was a really cool part that you picked out and played me. But, you know, we'll get into all that, you know, after that break. But, you know, what did you think about what they were discussing, you know, as far as, you know, how, did you like how they did that, how they're using science now to try and figure out the past, and yet it's still a mystery?
Yes, I mean, it's definitely, it's awesome that they're able to do that and that they are doing that.
Who would have thought that you'd have a hair from Edgar Allan Poe? Who holds on to that kind of shit? I guess somebody does, but I mean, that's just odd, you know, a hair from somebody who died in 1849, you know, and you're talking about the early 2000s, you know.
I mean, it's amazing that it made it.
Exactly. You know? But right.
It didn't get discarded somehow.
No. Yeah, and they only had a few strands of each, but yeah, I mean, it is, it's interesting, man.
I mean, it gives a lot of insight on my theories.
Sure. And we'll both discuss our theories, because, you know, I got a lot to say, even with this raspy, broke-down throat. I got a lot to say about the theories that we're going to talk about, as well as maybe some of my own. I know you know, have a lot to say on the theories. maybe we can run down this before we take that little Pink Floyd intermission. This is an article I ran across when you know, looking at some Poe, 13 haunting facts about Edgar Allan Poe's death. We'll just run through these, you know, kind of quick, because some of these we're going to talk about later on. Some of these, you know, will rear its ugly head again. The first one on the list: when he died, Poe was on his way to Philadelphia for an editing job. And I know that sounds weird, but here's a, you know, a letter, and I believe this might be the same letter that we came across in one of the documentaries about, cholera, yes. Where, you know, he thought that maybe, you know, it says, one of the last letters that Poe wrote is a note to the poet Mrs. St. Leon Loud, in which Poe arranges to meet her in Philadelphia to edit a book of her poetry. This letter is now in a collection of the Poe Museum. And I'm just going to go through here, Malice. If you want to jump in and you have anything to say about any of these, man, please do. Number two, a week before his death, his doctor advised him not to travel. But yet he did anyway. The night before he left Richmond on his trip to Philadelphia, his fiance, Elmira Shelton, commented that he appeared ill. So Poe visited a doctor friend named John Carter, who advised Poe to stay in Richmond a few more days before making the journey. When Poe left Carter's house, he took Carter's sword cane, accidentally leaving his own. I don't know what that means. I'm sorry. I know what a sword cane is. You know, right. I know what that is, but you know, I don't know. But all right, number three. Poe could not remember the luggage of his, or the location of his luggage. And interesting, he couldn't find it. Poe's attending physician, John Moran, asked his patient where he had left his luggage, but Poe could not remember. A few weeks later, his cousin found a trunk of his possessions in Baltimore, and another trunk was found in Richmond. So, man, his shit got split up pretty. No wonder he couldn't find anything. They were all in two different fucking states.
It's nice to know that, you know, people are losing their luggage like that. Back then, the way we are now when we go to an airport.
Right, yeah. This is not a new occurrence, people. When they lose your luggage, they were doing this in 1840.
You fly to Florida and your shit end up in China.
Oh, man. I was going to say something. I'm going to leave that one alone. Number four, 4 days before his death, Poe was found at a polling place on a voting day. And I'm just going to leave that one there because we got a lot to talk about that later on in the show. Number five, Poe's cat could not live without him. I read this earlier and I was like, okay, I have to read more. And it's only like one sentence. And it says, after hearing of Poe's death, his mother-in-law discovered that his beloved tortoise shell cat, Katerina, had also just died.
Like just drop dead, or did they find it swinging? You're gonna find me swinging.
I'm gonna kill myself. Oh man. Number six, his enemy wrote his obituary, which I'm not gonna get into much of that because that is also part of what we're gonna talk about. Number seven, his attending physician dismissed reports that Poe had been drinking heavily before his death. In other words, it wasn't maybe a case of just, you know, the alcohol poisoning. You know, he just drank himself to death.
Who said that now?
His attending physician dismissed the reports.
Oh, dismissed.
Yeah, right. That Poe had been drinking heavily before his death. Claims was there was no alcohol in his breath. He did not emit any kind of odor of alcohol through his pores or clothes or anything. Number eight, his friends spread rumors that he had been drunk. Poe was a drinker. He was a known debaucher. Debaucher? Yeah. He was known to just, you know, be that way. He was a writer. A lot of writers are. Look at Hemingway. Poe's hair was a collector's item. That's the hair we were speaking of, apparently. Number 10, only 7 people attended Poe's funeral. I did not know that.
That's a pretty small funeral.
I heard this early, but I did not know that. Poe's cousins hastily buried him the day after he died. An observer recalled the ceremony as being both cold-blooded and unchristian-like. One of the attendees, Henry Herring, was later quoted as saying about Poe, "I didn't have anything to do with him when he was alive, and I don't want anything to do with him after his death."
That's strange.
That was one of the 7 people that went to his funeral. He had quite the fan club. Poe's body was removed decades after his death. Interesting. Number 13, Poe's wife was buried next to him nearly 40 years after her death. Were they just digging people up 40, 50 years after they die and moving them everywhere?
That's weird.
What the hell is that all about? And number 13, Poe's death did not stop him from writing.
Really?
In the 1860s, the medium Lizzie Dodden, D-O-T-E-N, published some poetry she claimed had been dictated to her by Poe's ghost. His fiancée, Sarah Helen Whitman, after his first wife's death, but before his engagement to Elmira Shelton, hired a medium to move in with her because she thought Poe's spirit was trying to communicate with her, too.
I believe it.
Do you?
Yeah. No.
Yeah. I'll buy that for $1. Oh, very, very interesting stuff, my friend. You have anything that you want to add to that before we take our look? I went all low right there. I got to turn me up. Turn it up, man. All right. Do you have anything?
Turn up the radio.
Turn up your microphone. Do you have anything you want to add to any of those 13 points? Anyone?
Yeah, the last one. It's bullshit.
Isn't that funny?
Yeah.
What you think the cat was real? The cat thing was real? Was that bullshit too?
No, I think the cat committed suicide.
I do too. I think the cat was swinging from his, the little carpeted play toys, and it wrapped himself around a rope.
I think it strangled itself with its tail.
Oh my God. Wow.
I can't live if living is without you.
God. After that, we need some fucking Pink Floyd. All right, ladies and gentlemen. Again, I apologize for my voice, but my throat and vocal cords have taken a vacation on me. Hopefully, I'll be back soon. But hey, we'll be right back, and we're gonna really dive into not only some of the points in that article there, but also some interesting things we found. And Malice was over here earlier. And he was just going to town on that phone, man, looking up some stuff, doing some research that we're going to get into. I hope you saved that page there.
Yeah, I did.
Okay. Because it's very interesting, man. He started connecting dots here, ladies and gentlemen. He started connecting dots, and I think you'll be quite intrigued with what he found. So, again, Night of the Living Dreads. We're going to take a break. I am Otis B. Dredge.
I am Malice Murphy.
And we'll be right back after this little partial Pink Floyd song. Enjoy. Thank you. All right, welcome back. It's my raspy ass, Otis B. Dreads.
I am Malice Murphy.
And poor Malice, man. You know, I had the day off, and you know he's over here yawning during that. I mean, now granted, you know that Floyd, okay, that Floyd song, you know, it's called Echoes off of Metal.
Yes.
And that not being M-E-T-A-L, like the metal we all know and love. No, metal as in meddling in someone's business, M-E-D-D-L-E, which I'm sure anybody who knows Pink Floyd probably knows that. But you found this this clip that we all just had the pleasure of listening to, and why don't you clue everybody on why that particular part? Because it's like a 25-minute song. You know, there's a lot of, you know, music, a lot of, like, you know, parts like what we just heard during the break. What was it about that clip that we played, that 3-minute clip, that, you know, made you think of a Poe or using it? Because you brought it
just
to my
attention. The creepiness fact of it, you know, yeah. Like I, you know,
you can almost, you
know,
hear
when
birds
I sit back
in the
and,
background.
You know, I love to roll up some fine greenery.
Yes.
And, you know, jam out to some Floyd.
Vitamin M.
And, you know, I happen to have been listening to, you know, the Metal album, and you had mentioned that you had wanted, you know, it was like the very next day you had mentioned you wanted to do the show on Poe, and I instantly thought of the spooky sound that,
in,
you know,
in
the woods.
In,
like
in
it makes,
echoes in it, yeah.
Of, you know, echoes, yeah. It makes me feel like, you know, I can just picture myself walking through the woods and hearing the birds,
right.
And it made me think of the raven.
Right, yeah. Good choice, though, my friend.
Thank you.
Great choice. Give Malice a hand. All right, golf clap. a little behind-the-scenes humor, sorry. All right, we're going to let's start out. Okay, again, Edgar Allan Poe. Okay, he was born January 19th. 1809 at Boston, Mass. Get the car. Going to the bar. In the car. Where the car keys. he died October 7th, 1849. 40 years old. Died at the church home and hospital in Baltimore, Maryland. It was an informatory. Or infirmary. God, not only is my voice gone, my fucking brain has left the building as well. And as I mentioned, you know, he is said to be the, you know, inventor of the modern detective murder mystery story. And, well, his mother, Eliza Poe, happens to be, or be the center of the first tragedy in his life. She unfortunately succumbed to TB, and that was, when did you say, 18, when was that?
It would have been 1811.
That she passed, 1811.
Yeah, because his father actually left when he was one.
Right.
He abandoned the family and left, and then it was just a year later that his mom passed away from TB.
Unbelievable. By the time you're two, your mom's dead, your dad abandoned the family. I mean, not a good start for little Edgar.
No, definitely not.
and again, you know, the first woman in his life, which we'll discuss, you know, another love of his life, who also succumbs to TB.
Well,
so,
in addition to that, I mean, he was just Edgar Poe.
Right.
Until it was John and Francis, mm-hmm. You know, pretty, you know, kind of adopted him, but
right.
Never really legally adopted him.
Right, yeah.
He took on their last name as his middle name.
Yeah, that's how he got to be Edgar Allan Poe, because you're correct, sir, just Edgar Poe, what was his name. Now, I'm almost afraid to talk. Yeah, so again, a lot of you know, PTSD happening in young Edgar's life at two, And as you mentioned, you know, as growing up, him and was it John Allen? Was that his?
Yeah, it was John Allen.
John Allen. They did not get along too well. There were some butting heads there. I guess, you know, almost reminded me of, like, you know, your stereotypical, like, stepfather scenario. You know, I mean, they just didn't get along. And he decided, I guess, to pull him, was it, out of college and just, you know, make him a, you know, some sort of, you know, clerk or salesman or something. Just something that, you know, just didn't even work for Edgar. And he said that he had to do this job, otherwise, you know, the debt collectors were going to come and they were going to take him to jail. I think that was the time that he ran away, if I'm not mistaken. I did take notes.
Yeah,
I did take notes this week, ladies and gentlemen, I swear.
And yeah, I did not. I was lazy this week.
Today, this week, the part of Otis B. Dreads will be played by Malice Murphy.
Yeah, that was, are you talking about when he ran away?
When
to
he
the
ran
Army?
Away, yeah, yeah.
In 1827.
Okay. Yep.
Yeah, he actually went under a different name, which I do not see here.
So he you know, he runs away, and he runs to Baltimore, I believe. Am I right? Because this was in Virginia that he ran from. Is that right? Again, we're the same sloppy podcast, just with a bad voice. No, I think it's when he went to Maryland to his aunt. He was 27. You don't run away when you're 27, though.
Right.
It don't make sense. I'm 27. I'm running away from home. We call that abandoning the family, like, yeah, daddy.
Definitely.
So, yeah, well, and anyway, if you want to look for it, have at it. But I'm going to continue with this story. he ends up moving to Baltimore. And this is where the story gets interesting. That's why I want to jump to this part. He moves to Baltimore, and the only person he knows is his aunt. And, you know, he's got a few cousins there. And the one cousin, Virginia, when he moves there, she is, you know, kind of still a small child. He's young. Well, actually, no, he wasn't 27 when he moved there. That is wrong. He was 27 when he married his cousin, Virginia. And she was 14. So I'm just correcting myself there. But there we go. A little Jerry Lee Lewis type thing happening there. Right? Is that right? Jerry Lee Lewis? Yeah. Great Balls of Fire?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So.
Who's the other one? Lady. And that Jerry Lewis? Right? The comedian? You know what I'm talking about? Did the telethons?
Liv Taylor?
What? Rip Taylor? Rip, no, Taylor? Not him. No, Jerry Lewis. The comedian.
Jerry Lewis.
I'm either showing my age or you're showing your ignorance. I'm not sure. What
probably
that
both.
No, yeah, it probably is.
Might have something to do with that pen.
That damn Bic. So, and, all right, anyway. He ends up falling in love with his fucking cousin, dude. I mean, and
there's my girl.
Back off. But here's the thing. Back then, it wasn't uncommon to take and marry your cousin, but it was normally done for reasons.
Right.
And that being to keep the money in a certain family, in a certain bloodline, keep it recirculating through the family. So if you were to marry your cousins, there was probably, you know, either money on their side, you know, of that family tree, or yours, or both.
Right.
But that was not the case with Poe and Virginia.
Their asses were broke.
Both of them. Broke asses. Ramen noodles, broke asses. Ramen noodles and ketchup, spaghetti night. I've never done that, but, you know, it just popped in my head. Yeah, they were both broke asses. So money obviously wasn't the fucking reason. And then this caused people to kind of wonder, well, if you marry a new cousin and you both broke, what y'all doing together, feller? Been playing Red Dead 2 a lot. Everybody's a feller now. I mean, what do you make of that? What would you, if you were living back then, okay, and you knew that it was maybe not common practice, but it wasn't uncommon to have cousins marry for a financial reason, and then you run across, you know, 27-year-old Poe and his 14-year-old cousin married, and there's no money on either side. What would be your thought if you were, like, living in that town in Baltimore at that point?
I'd be
Go Ravens!
Some, I'd be thinking some sick shit's going on.
Right. Like, I would have to think so, too.
Like, he's, you know, he's 27, she's 14. He,
goodness gracious, great balls of fire.
I'm getting that flower. That one's got
Did you just
my
say that?
Name on it.
Man, on every petal. God. Oh, my God. This is really going downhill quick. No. So, yeah, and unfortunately, not but just, you know, about 10 years or not even 10 years, I'm going to say about 5 years, Virginia contracts TB. She was about 18, 19 years old. They said that she lived with TB for 5 years. until she passed. So that would, you know, make her, you know, when she died, she was 25. I heard 24 and I heard 25, but, well, you know, whatever. So you take 5 years off of that, you know, and you're looking at 18, 19 years old, something like, or 19, you know, maybe 20, but I, you know. Anyway, she, you know, and they say the reason that happened, a lot of people don't live with TB that long because they did not have any kind of antibiotics to treat this kind of thing. So if you got tuberculosis, that was a death sentence. Kiss your ass goodbye. There was no getting you out of this. But they said the reason that she was able to live with it that long was because she was still so young when she contracted it. Therefore, she had a very strong immune system, which enabled her to take and fight it off. And Poe, you know, had a hard time, you know, during that 5 years, because there was periods where she almost appeared to be getting better. She would have periods of, you know, just feeling better, like she was getting better, and then all of a sudden she would sink back down. And I can't remember if it was you or our past guest Bobby, who was on the Halloween show, whether it was one of us talking, where he had mentioned that, you know, he would have periods of insanity with long intervals of sanity or
I have become insane with long intervals of horrible sanity.
Sanity, yeah. And then he was describing this up and down roller coaster of emotion that he was feeling. And it was agonizing, and it was, you know, who knows how long in that 5 years that she had this, that, that he had to deal with that. If it was the whole 5 years, you know, damn, is all I got to say. I mean, just imagine that malice, and those listening, you know, the person you love, your, you know, your wife, your husband, you know, is living with this, and you know, it's a death sentence. But all of a sudden, they start getting better, and they start getting better. And then all of a sudden, they're right back down. It, what a emotional roller coaster, you know, that would have to be. I couldn't imagine it.
I mean, you it would drive you to drink.
All pun intended. All Poe intended. So, you know... And I do want to, you know, skip ahead a little bit, you know, because up to about the point where that she ends up passing. And again, some, you know, reports say, you know, 24, some say 25, whatever. And that was, you know, absolutely devastating. The Poe, as you can imagine, there's some say that what in hell? I think it's raining, or somebody just shot my window.
I think it's the devil.
It's the devil.
Praise Satan.
Damn, Satan's night was last week. Was it? Halloween, was that last week? That was a week before.
I don't know.
I don't, God. It's always Halloween here in the insane asylum. We don't even know what we're talking about. No, what's going on anyway, right, before somebody shot my, you know, the window here with rock salt. It's not like somebody threw a handful of sand. So, where the hell was I? Chirp, 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 chirp. I don't know. Virginia dies.
Yes.
Okay. He goes on a kind of a downward spiral, and there's a lot of, you know, little side stories that we could go off into the letter. Do you want to talk about the letter? You showed me a little bit about, you know, a little video about the letter before we started. The letter that was sent to Poe, that he sent back, because there was a different version that I heard, unless it's two different incidents.
It was a love letter sent from what was her name, Elizabeth or
Osgood? No. Oh, the third party.
Yes, the third one that was jealous of Osgood, the one that he was actually writing back and forth to.
Yes, she was a poet, a pretty successful poet.
Right, and she was really interested, almost obsessed with Poe.
Right.
And would, you know, write these love letters, and, you know, he pretty much, he didn't want nothing to do with it. Mm-hmm. And he sent the letters back. And it was said that, you know, she had sent her brother to get the love letters from Poe, which, you know, she already, you know, had possession of, because he had sent them back.
Right.
And, you know, when Poe, you know, told his friends that he had this, you know, this guy who was the brother of this woman that, you know, that was sending him, you know, crazy letters, was stalking him and intimidating him, and they thought, you know, that he was lying, that he was just making up stories. And that's pretty much it.
Crazy. I was hoping the story went further. Just start making shit up, man. I'm trying to rest my throat. So then Poe started playing Dungeons and Dragons with a Ouija board, and he summoned the devil on Christmas.
The Dark Lord.
The Overlord.
Elizabeth, she supposedly sent a letter to Virginia,
Yes, that was the version I heard, unless it's all connected with the same story.
I think so.
Is it? Okay.
So she sends this letter to Virginia, you know, pretty much exposing, you know,
Poe for being a womanizer.
And an adulteress.
You never know, man. So yeah, and you know, the thing is that at that time these letters obviously came to Virginia before her death. She, sick, her immune system's already compromised by the TB. And she gets these letters, and I believe these letters started happening towards the end of, you know, her dealing with TB, towards her end. And she attributes, when she reads these letters, obviously devastated. Obviously. I mean, who wouldn't be, you know? I mean, whether you, you know, believe it or not, you know, it, you know, you'd be questioning shit, you know. It'd be like you getting a phone call saying, oh, well, your loved one, you know, is doing this and doing that, and I have proof, whatever, blah, blah, blah. It was that kind of letter.
Right.
Exposing Poe for being a like you said, an adulterer or adulteress, a womanizer, a cheat, you know.
And yeah, whether it happened or not, you're already going to get that image in your mind that it's going on, and you're going to create this scenario and believe, you know, there's only one outcome.
And true or not, you're it's going to bring about, without you're doing, reading something that traumatic and that emotional, it's going to bring about stress.
Oh, definitely.
It's going to put a lot of stress on the body, and when your body's already ravaged by tuberculosis, you know, this is not good. So, long story short, too late. Virginia attributes this letter, because soon after this letter, it was like her health decreased rapidly. Whether it was just perfect timing that the tuberculosis, you know, just started taking over, you know, and just moving on at a fast pace and just, or really just hitting that decline at that moment, or that stress of the letter, the pain of the letter, caused that or accelerated that. Who knows? But Virginia, oh my God. Malice cracked his elbow. I thought he broke the damn thing. You all right?
Yeah, it was like tightening up. It was feeling weird.
Sounded expensive, like doctor bill expensive. So, you know, Virginia thought that, you know, maybe that letter might, you know, and pretty much came out and said that, you know, this fucking tramp killed me, basically, you know, I mean, because, you know, she's writing this shit, or, you know, whether or not she believed the letters, you know, it's like kissing and telling. Kissing and telling. And this damn dog starts barking, I swear. Oh, there it goes. There she goes. She just threw me all off. Kind of like when she rubbed her butt on the carpet and threw Malice off.
Oh my God, that was a great one. Doing the booty scooting boogie.
The booty scooting boogie in the insane asylum. Oh man, there we go. This is classic Night of the Living Dreads, where we just start talking about dogs rubbing their ass on the carpet in the middle of a discussion of Poe. We really know how to derail our own conversation. We're the best at it. All right. So needless to say, after that, poor Edgar again. you know, thrown into an emotional, you know, mental downward spiral. I lost his mother at 2. Don't even really remember her, probably. Maybe vaguely.
His father at 1.
Father at 1. Probably no fucking clue who that guy is. And then now at, you know, I think he was about 38 because he died 2 years after Virginia. And he was 40 when he died. So, you know, about 38 or so when Virginia died. So, you know, this and he at this point was, and I don't know if people understand this, but he was internationally known as a poet and a writer. I mean, he was in the upper echelons of the literary community. I mean, he was up there. And but yet died flat fucking broke, you know, and it's strange. But anyway, he begins to go on this again emotional downward spiral, and of course alcohol was always something from, you know, teenage early 20s years, you know. Stressful situations like the death of his wife brought about a lot of alcohol use. And it said, I don't know, but it said that he would dig the grave up of his wife and remove her teeth. I don't know if this is true, but this is what's been said. And turn around and screw the coffin back in, or nail the coffin, fasten it in that kind of way, screw or nail, I can't remember. And screw the lid of the coffin. Now, why would you do that? If the thing inside is already dead, there's no need to fasten that down in that fashion. The only reason that you would do that, one could speculate, is that you're trying to keep something in there. You're not trying to keep somebody out. You know, you got a crowbar. You could pry that shit open. You know? So that didn't really make sense. I don't know if it's true, but it's speculated that that's what happened. It's so,
definitely weird.
Very weird. Grave robber. Listen to me. Grave robber. So, I want to get into his death, because this is where it gets interesting. There's a lot of speculation about his death. I'm gonna run down. They say there's at least 20 different theories on how Edgar Allan Poe died. I don't know of any other person that, you know, a celebrity status at that time he was. That has that many theories about how they could have died. Usually, you know, maybe a handful. 20?
Yes.
And 20, including the fact that he got rabies from his cat. The one that, you know, died after he died.
The one that committed suicide?
The one that committed suicide. He got rabies from that little bastard. That's one of the theories. Some of the other theories that we will dive into a little bit. Mercury, alcohol, carbon monoxide, opium abuse, local election politics, toxic medication, foul play, and epilepsy. Which one do you want to start with, my friend?
We'll do epilepsy.
Let's start with epilepsy. Okay. I'll let you start, because in this little forensic type, you know, documentary about Edgar Allan Poe and analyzing his hair, they talked a little bit about epilepsy. What's your thoughts on that particular theory?
That he had epilepsy? I think it was very well possible,
right,
that he had epilepsy. You know, they said that he was a heavy drinker, and you know, in my research, you know, I was looking up the similarities between, you know, a stroke and epilepsy.
Right, right. And this gets into what I mentioned earlier. Get into that, my friend.
I know that heavy drinking could bring on, you know, strokes, small strokes leading up to massive strokes.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I believe that if indeed he was a heavy drinker, that it's very well that he could have been having these small strokes.
Little mini strokes, right.
That, you know, could have, you know, indicate or bring about
seizures and
yeah,
whatnot.
Epileptic seizures.
Because that they say that that's kind of common when, you know, you, after you have, you know, maybe a mini stroke or something, that it's kind of common. It's not uncommon to have these, you know, little seizures. Now, I think you'll get into this, but, you know, they can't really tell about, you know, oh, is this epilepsy or is this a seizure related to a stroke, unless the seizures, you know, are reoccurring in a pretty close, you know, proximity of each other. Is that right?
Yes.
And then they can determine, you know, yes, this is epilepsy, because they're happening at a faster rate than what you may normally experience after a stroke.
Right.
Right. So go ahead, because I mean and this is how interesting this is. I mean, we could go on and on.
So, you know, there's also another thing that, you know, a substance that they found,
mm-hmm,
within his hair was the carbon monoxide.
Right, which is one of the ones that, you know, we mentioned in the possible theories.
You know, which, you know, they would have got carbon monoxide poisoning from their lighting systems.
Right, the coal gas lighting emitting carbon monoxide, because, of course, they didn't have, you know, the electricity-powered street lights. They just got rid of candles, for fuck's sake. And now they have these, you know, emitting, you know, carbon monoxide everywhere. Is that related somehow to possibly these, you know, seizures and strokes?
Yes, carbon monoxide poisoning, you know, could lead to strokes. I'm not even going to try to pronounce that word. But
I know. It's a certain type of stroke. That
pretty much like a blood clot.
Right. Not a hemorrhage, but just an actual blood clot in the brain, which carbon monoxide poisoning, you're saying, yeah, that you can somewhat cause that.
Right.
Right. Or at least intensify the chances of getting one. And so then, go ahead.
I think that, you know, the heavy drinking on top of the carbon monoxide poisoning, you know, mixed with, you know, their modern medicine that they had, caramel.
Yeah, and it's actually spelled C-A-L-O-M-E-L, but it's, yeah, calomel.
Calomel, yes.
Caramel's good.
Yeah.
Calomel, not so much. And that was a medication used to treat cholera, which there was a big epidemic of that in Philadelphia. I believe it was Philadelphia. No, Baltimore. Was it Baltimore or Philadelphia? One of the two cities that he was actually in at that time. And some say that maybe he, you know, contracted, you know, a form, you know, or cholera, and, you know, started taking the medication that was given widely to people, that being the calomel, which was riddled with mercury.
Right.
He was taking this quite a bit, and he was, up until he died. They even found that in his hair follicle.
Right.
From like the last couple weeks that he was alive, because it's kind of like a timeline, you know, in the hair, and they can tell when, you know, shit was, you know, it's weird how that works, but apparently it works. So,
and with the calomel,
mm-hmm,
you know, he actually, you know, wrote a letter, you know, about taking that for the
cholera, yeah,
and said that he felt that
cholera.
The the obsessive amount of calomel that he was taking mm-hmm. had more effects on him than the actual cholera did.
Yeah, yeah. How interesting. You know, a lot of times, you know, I being one, you know, take a medication for a certain ailment and this, you know, the not really side effects, the actual damn effects of the drug,
right.
you know, is worse than what I'm taking it for. And I've stopped, you know, a lot of psych meds due to that. It was just horrible. So, I mean, yeah, and it was what he was doing was slowly poisoning his body.
That's already being poisoned.
That's already being poisoned, you know. It's crazy. So, okay, we touched on the epilepsy, which they said was a temporal lobe form of epilepsy, which is a type of epilepsy or seizure, epileptic seizure, that if you are seizing, if you're seizing, you may still be somewhat conscious. In fact, when you speak, you'll be all slurry and things of that nature. You'll also seem dazed and disoriented and you know, kind of, you know, almost you would think that you were drunk or something.
Right.
That was what they think the type of epilepsy, you know, he had. Which, you know, I don't know.
And it's strange, you know, that type of, you know, epilepsy, you know, the symptoms are very close to what would, you know, be a stroke.
Right. Right. We see a lot of that mercury poisoning is one that involves slurred speech. All, you know, a lot of the, you know, the carbon monoxide, I think, might even be another one. There was a lot of things in these theories, you know, the medication he was taking, the alcohol, the
carbon monoxide,
you know, all of these different things, you know, a stroke, all have certain, you know, common threads as far as symptoms go.
Not to mention all the stress.
There you go. The paranoia, hallucinations, which are also associated with, I think, one of the, I don't know if it's mercury or the carbon monoxide poisoning, but as well as seizures. So, you know, that's a very interesting you know, theory, and one to be, you know, maybe given some thought on. So we talked about the epilepsy. We talked about the cholera, the calomel medication for cholera being filled with mercury, the carbon monoxide from the coal gas lighting in Baltimore, and a lot of the bigger cities would have this. Opium abuse, there was, you know, speculation, you know, and whatnot, that, you know, he was big into his opium. Laudanum, I think it's an opium base, like cough syrup. If anybody's seen Tombstone, you'll remember that Wyatt, played by Kurt Russell, his wife in the movie, what was her name? Ellie. Was it Ellie? Something like that. She was hooked on that shit. So that was also, and he was said to take that, because what they would do with this calomel, get into this real quick, the calomel, They would turn around, if you had mercury poisoning, they turn around and give you a dose of fucking mercury. They give you a dose of the calomel, and then they give you some cognac, throw you some fucking opium, and all this shit. I don't know how that was a remedy for mercury poisoning, but hey, I got mercury poisoning. I don't want your opium, but I'll take some cognac. So, yeah, now, alcohol was ruled out. it was kind of ruled out early as far as being the main contributing factor. None of these things, in my opinion, really have a, this was what did it. It's not just one thing here, in my opinion. So, but they ruled out the fact that he didn't get, go into this bar in Baltimore and drink himself to death.
Right.
That did not happen. Sure, alcohol probably played a point, especially if he was an epileptic and taking the medication he was. Sure, it's going to play a point. But it was not, he didn't drink himself to death.
I think that alcohol, I mean, he definitely didn't drink himself to death, but in that state that I think that he was in, health-wise, that he could have went in there and possibly had one drink, and that sent him into a massive stroke, into a very strong epileptic seizure.
Right. No, you're absolutely right, and some people, that's all it takes. And that's how they kind of ruled out that he didn't have some kind of imbalance to where his body cannot detoxify the, you know, toxicity of our city. the toxicity of the alcohol. It's a, you know, a disorder, and some people can just have one drink and boom, you're just like life-threatening. So, but they were able to rule that, that it was not alcohol poisoning. The mercury, there's two more that, that I want to discuss. One being the foul play. Now, he goes on a trip back to Richmond and runs into an old childhood sweetheart. And decides he wants to marry her. And I think I got the name wrong, so I'm not even going to say it. Because I don't even know if it's the right name. But he decides they get together and, they become engaged. She had two brothers. These two brothers did not want this to happen. What, you find the name?
Yes, Sarah.
Is it Sarah Oyster?
Sarah Helen.
Like
Whitman?
Whitman. See, I heard Oyster. I don't know what the hell I was thinking. Sarah Helen Whitman. They're the one, the two brothers. He's double checking.
Yeah, no, I was wrong. He attempted to court Sarah Helen Whitman, who lived in Rhode Island, but the engagement failed.
Oh, okay. You so know, maybe.
And it said because of his drinking and erratic behavior. So he returned to Richmond and, you know, rekindled his relationship with his childhood sweetheart, Sarah Elmira Royster.
Royster, okay. So, he had two brothers that did not approve of this courting and this wedding. Couple of days before he disappears, he is said to tell people that he believes he's being followed by two men. He actually makes a trip to Philadelphia. What is his name? Satan? Satan or something?
Pray Satan.
And he takes and goes and stays with him. He took a train there and claimed that he overheard two men plotting to kill him. He's in a complete state of paranoia. I mean, who knows if he's hallucinating? Who knows what's going on with his brain? Whether it's damage from seizures, mini strokes. I mean, who knows what the fuck is going on with Poe at this point? But here's the weird thing. Yeah, it's just starting to get weird. Here's the weird thing. He goes there, right, stays there for a few days. And they say, he starts feeling a little more at ease and everything. After like 2-3 days, he was like, no, I don't think anybody's following me. I don't know what I was thinking. Must have been, hallucinating. No, ain't nobody following me. Nobody wants to kill me. I'm leaving.
I'd really like to know what he thought he heard, though.
Right.
Like, yeah, you see that motherfucker up there? Yeah, that one right there with the curly hair.
With the big
hair.
Forehead?
Yeah, I don't like his fucking mustache. Let's stab that motherfucker.
Man, I about spit my beverage all over the wall. I don't like his fucking mustache. It's crooked and he's got a big fucking forehead. So, now, the foul play was, you know, possibly Royster's, his newest fiance, her two brothers.
Right.
Some say that, you know, he could have been, you know, fucking beaten to death. And there were some, I think the doctors did find some injuries that were consistent with a beating. They did not find any smell of alcohol on him, which was very strange because he was a notorious drinker. But anything you want to add to the foul play? Any comments on that? Thoughts?
Mm-hmm. No, I don't think much of it.
I mean, it's not. I think that is maybe more speculation, just kind of a shot in the dark.
I believe the rabies from the cat more than I do that.
I kind of do too, and then the cat kind of felt bad for doing it and hung itself.
With its own tail.
With its own fucking tail. It was a long-tailed polecat. Now, here's an interesting theory, and this is our last one on the list. And, of course, that is not 20 of them, but these are some of the main ones that are mainly talked about. Local election politics. It was kind of common coin, standard, you know, SOP. And to take at election time, to take and do what they call cooping. They would literally, people that work for certain candidates would literally go and kidnap people. Bribe them with drink, get them all fucked up, and take them to the polling station. They would take them out the back, they would give them different clothes, and they would give them a little disguise and send them right back in to get multiple votes from one single person for the, you know, official they wanted elected. And they would keep them in an abandoned warehouse. This is where the, you know, cooping.
So it wasn't a chicken coop?
It wasn't a chicken coop, but it's the same principle. You know, you're all cooped up. That's kind of what they did. They just got a bunch of drunks in there. All right, you know, yeah, you over there, come on. Put this fucking jacket on. Here's a bottle. Go vote. And then when it got to the point where they were so fucking drunk that they couldn't even, like, couldn't even put a fucking X on the paper, you know, vote for anybody. They, you know, again, you know, make sure they were nice and fucking, you know, doped up and you know, drugged up. Fucking gave him different clothes and shoved him out on the fucking street.
Hey, mustache, get over here and drink this. Put this fucking jacket on. No. Not that hat. Put this hat on. You wore that hat 10 minutes ago, damn it.
Mustache. You fancy yourself a rider, mustache? I reckon you ain't no rider at all. Take his fucking bottle and go vote. Stash. It's your new name, Edgar Allan Stash. Yeah, so, I mean, that was a common practice. So that was a theory, hence why he was found in clothes that didn't fit him. Like a fucking clown, high water pants and an oversized jacket.
Oh, my God, dude. It's sad that, you know, that he died. You know, he was found that way, but right. I wish I would have found him.
Man, I might have been able to use that jacket.
I mean, it's sad, you know. You go.
Well, you were probably shorter than him, so you could have got the pants.
You go in the Dayton, man. You see that every other block you drive down.
Just don't light a cigarette around them. They'll be come out like fucking roaches. Hey, man, got a cigarette? Can I get a square? Can I get a square? Anyway, so Now I want to get to the part where, you know, we're just about going to wrap this up. We have one more thing to talk about after we get your theory and my theory on what you think happened, whether it has to do with any of the theories that we talked about here or one that doesn't have anything to do with on the list. Just, you know, I mean, what do you think there, Malice? What is Malice's theory on how Edgar Allan Poe died?
I think, you know, it's a combination of quite a few of them. I think that, you know, the stress his entire life on top of the heavy drinking, mm-hmm. I think that, and the carbon monoxide poisoning and the mercury poisoning from the
Calomel.
I'm sure he was taking that, you know, mm-hmm. throughout his entire life. You know, all that stress on his body, you know, I think that brought
everything,
the strokes, the epilepsy, and, you know, it was just only a matter of time before, you know, he had a massive attack, mm-hmm. and he had that evening that he was out, and he was approached, you know, by these political people,
mm-hmm.
and seen him in that state and thought that he was, you know, incapacitated or that drunk that he would have been an easy target to.
Maybe he was just seasoned.
you know? Yeah.
Maybe he was a slur and everything. They thought he was an easy target. So, there you go.
So, you know, they take him and they continue. I mean, you know, maybe he wouldn't drink, so they gave him something else.
I thought that too. Maybe that's where some opium comes into play. Maybe he didn't drink, and I don't mean to butt in on your theory, but I think you might be on to something. Maybe he wasn't drinking because he noticed maybe a frequency of these seizures that he was having due to drinking, and he expressed that he didn't want drink, and they gave him something else. And that's why the doctor stated, the attending physician, when he went to the church home, which is a hospital, an infirmary, Baltimore, where he died, the attending physician said didn't smell any alcohol. And so maybe you're on to something. Go ahead, brother.
Right. I mean, I definitely believe he had something to drink, you know, within that day or the day before.
Right.
But, you know, that they got him in this state to where, you know, he was beyond repair.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, even in that time, you know, medicine and medical care, you know, it's nothing to compare to today.
No.
And, you know, once he wasn't a benefit to them anymore, they threw him to the side, and it was only a matter of time before he took his last breath.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, my theory is pretty similar to yours. I think it is a conglomerate. It's a bunch of different aspects of it. You know, the carbon monoxide poisoning ingested over the years, the you know, alcoholism, the mercury, the medication he was on. Yeah, again, I'm in 100%, 110% agreement with you, Malice. I do believe that it was a mixture. It was a toxic cocktail. And then you add a almost a post-traumatic stress type mind to it, going through everything that he went through, which I think is what started his drinking career.
A drinking career.
He's pretty fucking good at it from what I hear. But I think it was, and maybe he did have, you know, strokes, and none of the, you know, documentaries I've watched about him, nothing I've read even mentioned stroke. You know, the first one that's brought that up. It's pretty fucking impressive, brother.
Thank you.
So, again, Edgar Allan Poe passes in the church home infirmary, and Baltimore, Maryland, October 7th, 1849. But that's not where the mystery ends, my friend. It does not even end with his death. It is said that 100 years later, in 1949, there started to appear a man, a person, assuming it's a man, in a long black jacket, a big black wide brim hat, wearing a white scarf, who on Edgar Allan Poe's birthday, January 19th, every year would always go to his grave in the wee hours in the morning, very, very early. And he would take a bottle of cognac and he would put three roses.
Yes, right? Three roses.
Three roses on his grave. Maybe have a drink there or just, and then he would leave a bottle of cognac every year. This happened for 60 plus years, my friend. What do you think about that? This man was never identified.
I think it's pretty cool, man.
Do you think it's the same guy over the whole 60 years? Because they said it was roughly about 2019 that this stopped.
2009 on 19.
My God. It stopped next year, ladies and gentlemen. We got our finger on the pulse of the Poe Nation, and that shit's going to stop next year.
We got a Stargate.
No, we got a sniper rifle. We're taking this guy out.
I think that it very well could have been the same guy.
You know. And maybe he just died.
Because the theory said, they think that he moved, and it's been going on for, fucking 60 years. Right. A child wasn't going out there doing it. It was a man.
Right.
Or an adult.
Right.
He fucking died.
I kind of, if it was the same guy this whole time, I think it's quite possible. Fucker died. that was so compassionate.
Maybe he, got drunk and died of alcohol poisoning on the way there.
Maybe he died on Poe's grave.
Maybe dug it up and crawled in there with him.
Spooned him.
It's all right. Daddy's here.
It's all right. All right. I'm going to get my raspy ass out of here.
Hang on. We gotta talk about the Dark Christmas.
Oh, yes, yes. I forgot about that. Halloween is over.
It's not.
No, it's never over. I mean, for the normal, for the squares, Halloween's over. For us cool people, Halloween is a 365-day venture. And I'm sure we've all seen, the fucking Christmas decorations and, already out in the displays, already out. They were out before Halloween at places like Menards and Lowe's and places like that because I frequent those given my line of work. That shit was out before Halloween. I don't like to let go of that horror feeling. I can't fight this. What's the song? Never mind. So decided. I don't know whose idea it was, whether or not it was my wife's or my daughter's, but they both came to me with this idea. So maybe it was a tag team type thing. Last year we had like a little tree. It was just me and my wife here. Kids are growing up, they're out, right? So we just got a little fucking tree. And Jody tells me, I want to get a real tree this year. Okay, fine. And she was like, you can take that little tree and you can decorate it in the insane asylum. Well, okay then. So I went out and got all my Christmas ornaments, Halloween decorations, 50% off. And when we decide, because, you know, I'm going to make sure Malice is here to help me decorate this. We will do that shit on video. We will show you how we, you know, get ready for Christmas.
Dark Christmas.
Not Black Christmas, because that's a movie and shit, right? I mean, copyright issues.
Yeah.
We are the Dark Christmas, the Insane Christmas from the Insane Asylum. So we plan on taking some videos, some pictures of that. I bet you guys are just chomping at the bits to see that fucking shit. but anyway, hey, it's once again been a blast. I don't think we've come up with a topic for next week, but I'll give everybody on Gore Hounds of Horror on Facebook maybe a little heads up when we decide and concrete that topic. Again, gorehoundsofhorror.com, Gore Hounds of Horror on Facebook. That's our brothers and sisters over there. We are Night of the Living Dreads, nightoflivingdreads.com. And you can also find us at Night of Living Dreads over there on Facebook as well. Just throw us up in the search engine and you will find Malice and myself. So with that, I'm going to bid you guys a farewell with my raspy ass. I am Otis B. Dreads.
I am Malice Murphy.
And we will see you guys next week. It's been fun. Check out some more Poe if you enjoyed this, because there's so much more out there. Have a good evening, morning, afternoon, whenever the fuck you're listening to this. we'll talk to you here soon.
Soon.
Shut up.